morning, and I welcome you to this worship service of Central Congregational Church in Attleboro Falls on this day designated by the church to be All Saints Sunday. We're joined today by the chairperson of our Board of Deacons, Wayne Netney, our youth pastor, Reverend Glenn Roundsville, and our musical director, Dave Valerio. And we have some family members who are here especially to pay honor to loved ones who have passed away this past year, and we welcome you as well as any other visitors. Pastor Glenn, would you please call us to worship?
Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. Let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Let us call ourselves to worship. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, you have brought together the mystical body of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Give us grace to worship and live in the pattern of your blessed saints throughout all the ages, so that we may also come to know the great joy of heaven. Rejoicing in the promise of life with you, we pray the prayer you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
And this is the time that we do share a mission moment. We're doing it a little early because time is passing very rapidly in terms of our usual Christmas mission. So Sue Dunbar.
Hi, everyone. Well, last week I said we were working on the kids, Christmas is for Kids project. So wanted to give an update. And as Reverend Carol alluded to, time is of the essence. So although we are just getting off of Halloween with the snow and we're ready for Thanksgiving, we are fast forward. We have to be ready for Christmases for kids. So here's how we're going to do it this year. A little bit different. So I just wanted to go over a few things. As we have in the past, so here's the same. We have a tree with all of the little ornaments on. Those little ornaments are tags, which are all of the different gifts that we will look to have and purchase for the six children we've sponsored. So here's how it will work this year. So you can go over to the church, the CE building, and right outside Kathy's office in the hallway, you'll see the tree and you can pick an ornament. So you can pick any of the tags. You can look at them to see what type of gift it is that you would be interested in purchasing. There's a sign out sheet right next to the tree on the counter. And we're asking if you could write the tag number down with your name and phone number. We are doing that this year just to make sure we know where the tags are in case anything should change because we are changing up this process. So we'll ask you to take a tag, write it down, and then bring those gifts unwrapped, just as we've always done, with that tag back to the CE building by Saturday, November 21st. All right, so the building will be open during the day, so you can go up anytime to take those tags off. Kathy is there on Tuesdays and Thursdays. So if you're comfortable leaving the gifts back, Kathy will be there. And the CE committee itself will be checking in every day. So any gifts that are left, we will capture them and put them in a safe place. All right, so we've got a few weeks to get this done. So please feel free to go over to the church at any time during the week and take that ornament tag and process it from there. All right, and the other thing is to make it really easy, we're sort of combining some of our events, right? So I mentioned November 21st is the day we need all those gifts back. You don't have to wait till that day, but if you do, it's also Apple Pie Day. So just as a reminder, you could bring your gift, pick up your pie at the same time. So if you don't mind, I'll just let everyone give an update on Apple Pie Day, if that's okay. Apple Pie Day is happening this year. We talked about it last week, and there's been some notices in the triad. The pies will be unbaked, so please place your order, but they will be unbaked based on the safety of everyone and changing up our process to get them all made. We're going to do it unbaked this year. We still do need some help for Saturday. Saturday is the day we assemble all of those. So if anyone is interested, please give myself or Sue Winship a call. And Adele Nunez is planning the apple peelers, which is on Friday. So if you're interested in that, Adele would be the person to contact. So thank you very much, and I'll hand it back to you. Thanks.
Thank you, Sue. That's a lot, but we're going to get there by all means. By any means we can. The only other announcement I have really is please be sure to get out and vote if you haven't already submitted your ballot by mail or by dropping it off at the town halls. Please be sure that you do get out to vote if it's at all possible. Are there any other announcements that anyone would like to make? Pastor Glenn, did you say you wanted to make an announcement?
So I had originally said that we're going to do the scavenger hunt thing this coming week, but I've had to put it off till the first week or so of December. I'll let you know what that is because of my dad's surgery. We wanted to be open to go down there if we had to. But also the fire pit on the 14th, we have some people signed up for that one. So if you want to sign up for that or the one on the 20th, please let me know. We're going to social distance and all that. So be nice to get together in some way. So please let me know.
Okay, thank you, Glenn. Any other announcements?
Reverend Carroll?
Yes.
I wanted to just say something about the Christmas pageant. Again, an email went out earlier this week with information on the pageant. We are looking for families who would be interested in participating. And if you're interested, if you, my contact information was in the email, you can email me, call me, text me, just to let me know if you and or your kids would be interested in participating. And then we can touch base with details.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you, Sherilyn. Anyone else? If not, then Mr. Dave, would you please introduce your music to us?
Yes. So not only is it All Saints Day, All Saints Sunday, but it is also Reformation weekend. And this is designated Reformation Sunday. And so the hymn we're gonna be singing is the very famous and much loved, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, which was actually written by Martin Luther. I actually looked up some information on it. And he actually wrote the words, and scholars believe that he actually wrote the music for it. And it came from the medieval period. It was written sometime between 1527 and 1529. So it's probably one of the oldest hymns we have in our hymnal. And I just love the melody of it, and the words are great. So it's right in line with our Reformation Sunday today. So let's all sing, and the words are put up in the chat box. If you go down and scroll down and find the chat box, you click on that. The lyrics are there, or the lyrics were sent by Kathy by email. But join along. If you don't have the words, you can hum along. Let's all join in on A Mighty Fortress Is Our God.
A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. Our helper he amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. For still our ancient foe doth seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate. On earth is not his equal. That word above all earthly powers, no thanks to them abideth. The Spirit and the gifts are ours, him who with us sideth. Let goods and kindred go, his mortal life also. The body they may kill, God's truth abideth still. His kingdom is forever.
Thank you, Mr. Dave. I could add one little anecdote about Martin Luther to that. He was the one who actually went out and took a lot of the tunes out of the bar rooms in his day, because he said, why should the devil have all the good tunes? So that's a little thing you may not have known about Martin Luther. This is the time we share our celebrations. Janet Dyer did come home, so we're very happy for Ed and Janet that has happened. I would like to also recommend the email that Kathy sent out from the office about the RIP, where we gave money in order to do away with medical debt that a lot of people have had. And the churches, the combined UCC churches in Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island were able to raise enough money that was matched money, by the way, and we were able to, I believe, I can't remember the exact number, but over $26 million of debt was relieved by that effort of our mission committee, along with many other mission committees. So that was truly a very fruitful mission for us. Are there any other celebrations that you would like to mention?
I would like to mention a celebration. For those of you that don't know, I've been writing a Christmas album with original Christmas songs, seven tunes, and it's been a work in progress for like 6 years. And with all the time I've had during this COVID thing, I finally got it finished. And so all the tracks went to the mastering studio. This week I celebrate that. And the album I should have CDs, and you can purchase it online. It should be available Thanksgiving weekend, I'm hoping, right in time for Christmas. So, and I'm going to do something. I'm going to let you know. I'll have updated information. But I think I'm going to do something where part of the proceeds that I get for the album are going to go to Christmases for Kids. So If you don't get in on the Christmases for Kids thing, by the 21st, I should have some info. And, you know, if you purchase a CD, I'm going to send some of the money to Christmases for Kids, you know, during the month of December. So please look forward to that. I'll have more information on that soon. And it's a good cause, and I'm glad to be able to donate some money to that.
That's Thanks. Wonderful. Thank you, Mr. Dave. Thank you. Any other celebrations?
I have a celebration.
Yes, Maddie.
My grandfather, Ron, he's at the hospital.
Good. That's good news. Excellent. Very good. Any others? If not, then let us turn to our concerns as a church family. We pray this morning for people who are ill and others in need of prayer, and we include on that list this morning Loretta and Chad, Cher, Brigitte, Kathy D., Doris, Vinny, and Marie, Lee, Bert, is Julie Goss's brother-in-law, Vinny, who has been trying to deal with some medical issues. We pray for Ed and Janet. We pray for Pastor Glenn's father as he does face surgery. For Raylan, a 12-year-old girl who is battling cancer. And also Madison, a 7-year-old who is battling cancer. And we will continue to pray for Ronald, Madison's grandfather. And we're very glad to hear he is at home. Those who are in the nursing homes and assisted living are Bud and Jackie and Carol. And we also send our condolences out to Shelley Ross on the death of her father, Mickey Goyette, this past week. As always, we continue to pray for all the people who are suffering from COVID-19 and all of those on the forefront of that battle, for those who suffer from addictions. We pray for the health of our nation, especially during this election time. And we pray for our communities as we face these difficult days together. So please join with me in a moment of prayer, and at the time of silence, you may feel free to add other names at that time. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, sometimes we are overcome with worries. We worry about this pandemic. We worry about our jobs. We worry about paying the rent. We worry about our families, about our children's schooling. We worry about Monday morning, all of the demands and responsibilities that we need to take up again. We have come here hoping for a time of rest, an opportunity to unburden ourselves from the cares that consume us. Because you have promised us rest, we ask you to relieve us of those burdens which are too heavy for us to bear by ourselves. If there be burdens from which we cannot be delivered, we ask that you bear them with us, thus enabling us to go on despite our worries. And because you have called us to be disciples, we know that we sometimes fall short. We live mainly for ourselves, and you would have us live for others. We feel our own aches and pains. You want us to feel the hurts of the rest of the world. Strengthen us, we pray. Enable us to be courageous in taking up your work in your world. Give us the gifts we need to be faithful to your way, to bear whatever yoke you would offer us, to bear whatever burden we have picked up. We understand we cannot ask to be free from all cares and concerns. However, we ask that you relieve us of those worries which are trivial or selfish, or in the end really inconsequential. Give us a yoke worth bearing, a burden worth bearing. We lift up now the burdens of others among us who are in pain, who are hurt, who are grieving. We ask your special blessings on all those people whom we have mentioned by name today, and pray that you would listen to the current concerns of our lips as we lift up other people into your presence during this time of silence. In your name, and because you have called us to come to you to be your disciples, we offer this prayer. Amen.
God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care. Take
care of you. Our scripture lesson for today on All Saints Day, we turn to a vision given to John called the Revelation. It is a long book which describes the one vision from God. I'll be reading from Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 through 17. Please hear these words. After this, I looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could count from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, robed in white, with palm branches in their hands. They cried out in a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God, who is seated on the throne, and to the Lamb." And all the angels stood around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, singing, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, Who are these robed in white, and where have they come from? I said to him, Sir, you are the one that knows. Then he said to me, These are they who have come out of the great ordeal. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For this reason, they are before the throne of God and worship him day and night within his temple. And the one who is seated on the throne will shelter them. They will hunger no more and thirst no more. The sun will not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to the springs of water of life, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. God, please help us in our understanding of these words.
Thank you, Wayne. One writer has remarked that a person could be understood as being similar to a house. We have our living rooms where we entertain and our basements where we hide things we use no more and the trash. And if that analogy is true, then the way that we should be observing All Saints Day is to walk out onto our front yards and salute the people on our balcony. The balcony people in our lives are those who have gone before us, who have been our encouragers, who have left us a legacy. And that's exactly what we are called to do on this All Saints Day. We salute all of the saints who have gone before us, whose faithfulness provided us with the faith we enjoy today. Now, some say that the revelation to John, from which Wayne read this morning, was written by the Apostle John. But most biblical scholars believe it was written really much later than John's time. But all do agree that it was written by an early Christian who had been exiled to the island of Patmos, probably someone who was a Christian who was exiled for that purpose. And the Isle of Patmos is in the Aegean Sea off the coast of Ephesus, you know about the letter to the Ephesians, in modern day Turkey. It is presented as one ongoing vision coming from God through Jesus Christ. One of the most vivid images from this vision is a portrayal of saints standing before the throne of the Lamb. Now, when you see the word Lamb in the New Testament, that always talks about Jesus Christ. You know, the Lamb was what was considered to be the best offering you could bring to the temple in Jerusalem to be forgiven your sins. And as Christians, we believe that Jesus Christ was the final sacrifice. And so the giving of animals as sacrificial was no longer practiced. They are wearing, the people, these saints are wearing pure white robes. And someone asks who these people are and where did they come from? And John answers, you know, these are the saints, those who have come through the ordeal and have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. John goes on to say that there is a great multitude that no one could count from every nation, tribe, people, and language standing before the throne of God and before the Lamb. It shouldn't surprise us. Our faith, our Christian faith, has always been a universal faith. And it's amazing that so many Christians seem to forget this. Saints of God come in every color, they come from every place and speak every language. There's a wonderful story about Clarence Jordan. I don't know if that's a name known to you, but he was a farmer and a New Testament Greek scholar. That's an interesting combination, isn't it? He's probably best known as the author of the Cotton Patch Paragraph of the New Testament, a very country kind of understanding of the New Testament. And he was also one of the founding fathers of something that we know quite well, Habitat for Humanity. Jordan used to go out at one point in his ministry to do revival services at a church in the Deep South. Now, this was the late 50s or the early 60s when segregation was the norm in the South. Clarence Jordan got up to preach and he realized that the congregation was not segregated at all. They were Black folks and white folks all there together. And after the service, he went to the pastor, an old hillbilly preacher, and said, "How did you get your church this way?" And the old hillbilly was kind of puzzled and said, "What way?" Clarence Jordan said, "Well, black and white folks all together, integrated. Is that because of the Supreme Court decision?" The preacher answered, "Supreme Court? Why would Christians need the Supreme Court to tell us that black folks and white folks ought to be all together?" And Jordan asked him, "Well, how did it happen? What's the history of this church?" And this old preacher said, "Well, there used to be about 20 people in this church. When their old preacher died, they couldn't get no one to preach. So after about 2 months, I told the deacons I'd preach. They couldn't get anybody else. So they said, yes. I got up the next Sunday. I opened the Bible, put my finger down on the verse that says, 'In Christ there is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, but all are one in Christ Jesus.'" Reading, of course, from the book to the Colossians in chapter 3. He said, "So I preached on that, and I told them how Jesus makes all kinds of people one. When I finished, the deacons said they wanted to talk to me about that in the back room. When they got there, they told me they didn't want to hear that kind of preaching no more." So Clarence said to him, "So what did you do?" The old preacher said, "I fired them deacons. If a man's not gonna deek, he ought to be fired. Watch out, Wayne." Clarence Jordan was amazed. He said, "Why didn't they fire you?" He said, "They didn't hire me," said the hillbilly preacher, "so they couldn't fire me. You know, once I found out what bothered those people, I gave it to them week after week. I put the knife in the same place Sunday after Sunday." And Jordan was stunned. He said, "And they put up with it?" "Not really," said the old preacher. I preached that church down to four people. Sometimes revival happens not when people come in, but when people go out. If people were going to stand in the way of the moving of the Spirit of God, it's better they be gone. After that, we decided that we were going to build the church on people who are actually serious about following Jesus. And that's when it started to grow. That night, Clarence Jordan stayed at the home of a member of that church, a graduate of Yale, a college professor who had a PhD in English literature, and he drove 70 miles each week to go to that church. Clarence asked that brilliant young professor, "Why do you go to that church to hear an old hillbilly preach? You have a PhD from Yale, and he can't utter a single grammatical sentence." And the young man said, "Sir, I go to that church because that man preaches the gospel." And that is the gospel. All people on the earth are represented around the throne of God. In John's revelation, the saints were clothed in shining white robes, the symbol of purity. Those robes were washed in the blood of the Lamb. It's a little bit graphic for our modern sensibilities. In Revelation, it is simply a symbolic way of saying that these saints have been made worthy to inherit that which was promised by God because of Christ's death on the cross. In other words, they are standing around the throne the same way all of us hope that we will one day stand around that throne, by the grace of God. If getting into heaven was a matter of merit, we would all be in very serious trouble, and I think we know that. There's a story about Mother Teresa, who is in heaven, and she is in dining with God, and the only thing in front of them is a couple of tuna fish sandwiches. While they're eating, she looks down into Hades and sees the citizens of that realm feasting on steak and lobster and creme brulee. "Not that I'm complaining," Mother Teresa says to God, "but why are they eating lavishly and we're only having tuna fish sandwiches?" "Well," God said, "with just two of us up here, I figure why cook?" Yeah, it's probably true. Mother Teresa will get there on her merit, but she's one of the very few people, and she would be the first to confess that she was not always a perfect person either. If getting to heaven were based on merit, maybe Mother Teresa might make it and a few others. So who are the saints around the throne of God in this vision? Everybody on this earth is a candidate for sainthood. You could be a saint, I could be a saint. Max Lucado wrote, "God loves us just as we are, but God loves us too much to leave us that way. He wants us to be like Jesus." Once we accept that and work on being more Christ-like, then we can, by God's grace, join the Holy Company seeking to bring light to a world of darkness through lives that reflect the glory of Christ. And so we gather on this All Saints Day to remember the saints who have left us this past year. I'm going to say a prayer and then call out the names of those of our church family who have left us this year. And in the following moment of silence, please feel free to say out loud in God's presence the names of any of your beloved who have passed away this past year or 50 years ago. It may be a parent, a family member, a teacher, a choir director, anyone to whom you give credit for your growth as a Christian. So please join me in a moment of prayer. Almighty God, you have knit together your elect in one communion and fellowship in the mystical body of your Son, Christ our Lord. Grant us grace so to follow your holy saints in all virtuous and godly living, that we may come to those unspeakable joys which you have prepared for those who sincerely love you. We give you thanks for these departed saints and others we name in your presence who have been a part of our pilgrimage. Catherine Melanson, Ray Spooner, Kathy Barry, Wade Pooler, Elliot Adams, Lillian and Lawrence Crossman. Let us now be in a moment of silence.
The souls of the righteous are in the hand of God, and no torment will ever touch them.
In the eyes of the foolish, they seem to have died, and their departure was thought to be an affliction.
And their going from us to be their destruction, but they are at peace.
For though in our sight they were punished, their hope is full of immortality.
Having been disciplined a little, they will receive great good, because God tested them and found them worthy.
Like gold in the furnace, God tried them, and like a sacrificial burnt offering, God accepted them.
In the time of their visitation, they will shine forth and will run like sparks through the stubble.
They will govern nations and rule over peoples, and the Lord will reign over them forever.
Those who trust in God will understand truth, and the faithful will abide in love.
Because grace and mercy are upon the elect, and God watches over the holy ones. Amen. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
This concludes our service. If you'd like to hang around and have some conversation, please feel free to do so. Thank you so much for being here this morning.